Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Megan, how's it going?
It is going well. We are recording this in early August, and a lot of us are kind of coming up like a slow crawl to the end of the summer, although some people are, it's like over.
I know. It's crazy.
So it's like they're heading back to school already. So we're kind of going to get in a little bit of a fall-ish, but not too, you know, heavy-handed mindset today. Last week we talked about summer malaise and how things sometimes start to fall apart. And this week we're going to talk more about just kind of getting organized, whether
getting back on track,
whether it's because it's the beginning of the school year and, you know, you just really need to know where things are again and, you know, where everyone's supposed to be and what day it is, or whether it's, you know, just any time of year, just getting yourself back together and getting chores done and tasks that need to be done and staying organized.
Yeah. And including your kids in that too,
yes.
I think kind of how to implement that. At least that's what I'm going to ask you about, Megan.
Oh yeah. Can't wait. First, I want to turn it over to Sarah really quick so she can talk about our sponsor, KristenShop.com. Go ahead, Sarah.
So we're really excited to have KristenShop.com as our sponsor this week. And Kristen Norton owns the business. She's a mom of three, and she's put her natural organizational talents to use after years of kind of having some of these systems go well in her own house with her own kids. She now sells tools to organize, achieve, and inspire. And she has beautifully designed everything from notepads to lists to chore charts for kids to actual office supplies like file folders and journals and all that kind of stuff. She's KristenShop.com. And we're super excited. We're going to be doing a giveaway to her shop. We will let you guys know how to enter that giveaway before this episode wraps up, but it's going to be a $25 credit to her shop, and everything is adorable. I know Megan and I are both drooling over some of the, it's so fun to make lists when your notepad is pretty.
If you like well-designed paper products, which are one of my favorite things, you will definitely like Kristen's shop. And I don't know if you mentioned this already, Sarah, but I just want to point out it's Kristen with two I's.
Yes.
KristinShop, shop, S-H-O-P.
.com. And all of this, of course, always everything we talk about is at our website, themomhour.com. This is episode 15. So you don't have to write this down or type it into your browser right now. Relax and just remember themomhour.com, and we will have everything there. So thank you, Kristen, and KristenShop.com for being a part of this episode. We're excited.
We are. Let's get to the meat.
Let's get to it. So, all right. Well, here's where I'd love to start is kids and chores, because last episode we did talk about things falling apart around the house. And one of the things I kind of griped about to you, Megan, is that my kids are young enough, if you're new around here, my kids are 2.5, 5, and 7, where up until this point, it's been pretty much all me. So if we come home from a vacation, which is what I talked about last week, and everything's a mess, in my mind, it's still very much on me to kind of get us back in order. And not only have the kids not historically been a huge help, but they're usually making more messes.
Right.
So I know at some point that shifts. And Megan, you've written a ton. We'll link to, we probably won't even talk about all the posts you've written, but I will link to them in the show notes because you've really talked about this a lot, is kind of bringing your kids into the household management picture, whether that's through a chore chart. And I guess where I feel kind of stuck, and I will let you advise me and listeners, is like, just what, like how you go from your kids not pulling their weight a whole lot just because of their age and whatever else to little by little integrating them in and having higher expectations. It's not that my kids don't do anything. I mean, they clear their plate after dinner and they'll pick up toys when I ask them to, but it's a big difference between the kids, the ages that you have and mine. Mine aren't giving major contributions at this point
right.
to house management. So does anything jump? Is there any place you want to jump into that?
Let me just first start by saying it's a process and a long one. And you are still, I mean, I feel like I use this phrase when I talk to you a lot, but you are still in it. I mean, you're still really in the thick of it. And thinking back to when my oldest was 7, I was still a ways out from a time when I could reasonably expect the kids to be a real help around the house.
Well, that's comforting because sometimes I do feel like I'm just putting it off or like I haven't given them enough to do yet.
This is when they learn. I think this is when they need to learn to do stuff that seems like it's helpful, but really you're going to have to be so hands-on with it that really it almost creates more work for you. It's still worth it because you're creating that work ethic and that idea that we all pitch in and all those things. But I would not expect for it to make a real impact on the ease of your life for a couple of years yet. Okay. It's just reality. I think it was for me when my oldest were like 9 and 7 mm-hmm. was when I really felt like, wow, they're contributing in a noticeable, real way. And then when they were like 8 and 10 and then 9 and 11, then things started to like every year get, you know, just easier and easier and easier. Right. But before that, I really just had to kind of resign myself to the fact that the house was going to be kind of in a shambles a lot of the time. And you have a toddler.
Right.
And so that, you know, there's toys and pieces and parts and, you know.
And you know what is a dynamic in my house, too, is that the oldest is really good at keeping the youngest or even the younger two busy, which to me is more valuable than, say, having her clean her room or whatever, because I can get more done if she's playing older sibling. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
so that's, and I'm sure that's a dynamic some people can relate to. And I've thought sometimes, you know, this is probably not a good long-term strategy because she's ready for, you know, some increased responsibility and all that. But for me, the biggest time saver is to have her keep the other two busy while I get stuff done.
Well,
so
I'm
not the only one in that boat either.
I mean, I don't, you know, it's kind of funny. We set this, I guess, all or nothing panicked, you know, everything feeling about parenting sometimes where it's like, I remember reading a story and I've shared this on the blog before several times that I am in charge of our household laundry for a variety of reasons. But when you have 5 kids in the house, it wouldn't work for everyone to be doing their own laundry, even the teenagers, because they would be in my way.
Right.
They'd probably throw a load in and leave it for a day. And then I'd have to, you know, it's just, it wouldn't, to me, that even thinking about that makes me crazy. Right. And I don't mind doing it.
Right.
But I've read sort of these like alarmist stories that are like, well, if your kids don't learn how to do their laundry, they're going to go off to college and never know. And, you know, it's not that hard to learn how to do the laundry.
Right.
Pretty much anybody can. What, I mean, if I had never done the laundry in my entire life and I'm standing here as a 38-year-old woman, I could learn how to do the laundry today, I'm pretty sure. So to me, it's more like setting up the mentality that laundry is something that needs to be done. It's a job that has value. It, you know, it's something that if mom's not doing it, then someone's going to have to, and that someone at some point is going to be you.
Right.
I don't think it has to be taught so specifically. So if Allegra watching the little ones is helpful to you, then that's a job, you know,
and
that counts.
It's
still contributing. She's still helping you. She's still doing something that makes her feel like a valuable member of the family. I think if you wanted to make it more like about cleaning, maybe she could help the littler ones clean their space. But I don't even think it has to tie so specifically to count, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I definitely think you're right. So can you just give me a peek into the future of some specific things that you're just chores and household management stuff that are completely delegated? Because I know you're older kids have some jobs now that are completely delegated, not laundry, obviously. But give us a picture of how that works with older kids.
Well, okay, so I like loading the dishwasher. I don't mind it, but I hate unloading. So I never unload the dishwasher.
I love it.
Ever. Like, I'm serious, never. I don't like it. To me, it's so silly. Like, why do I like one way and not the other? I don't know.
I don't mind the whole dishwasher thing. What I'm terrible at is the hand washing and putting away of bigger stuff like pots and pans. I avoid that. So I'll load and unload the dishwasher 85 times and leave this like mystery pile of soaking pots and pans and things that can't go in the dishwasher for like 3 days.
Yeah. And that's pretty split. I mean, I do that sometimes and the kids do that sometimes. I never take out trash. I never take out recycling. That is the older boys' jobs. The boys walk the dog. They feed the dog. They feed the tortoise. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, okay. So these are just like little random things, but breaking down boxes. I feel like we have kind of, maybe because I'm a blogger, I have like an unreasonable influx of boxes at all times.
It's Amazon. Amazon is done.
Amazon. And I get like a lot of, you know, like book review books and stuff that I didn't even ask for. They just show up in the mail. And then you've got these awkward sized boxes. And so the kids have to break down boxes. They sort socks. The little ones, it's their job. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked before about how I don't sort and fold socks. I just throw them all in one thing, one basket. But after, there does come a point where it's chaos and no one can find any pairs. So I'll just dump the, you know, the thing on the living room floor and tell the boys, Owen and Will, who are 9 and 11, that they can watch TV if they want to while they sort socks. And they always complain because it is kind of a crappy job. But you know what? It's not that hard. I don't clean the upstairs bathroom. The boys do that. Gosh, I'm trying to think. Like, there's just a lot of things, but a lot of them are kind of just, because they're not things that the kids necessarily will do without me telling them, because they don't always know when it needs
to go next. Yeah.
They don't always know where and when it needs to be done. But it's not, I've gotten in such a mental routine about kind of sensing, like, I never go upstairs. Our upstairs is just bedrooms.
Okay.
I hardly, and a bathroom. I hardly ever go up there.
And your bedroom is downstairs.
And my bedroom is downstairs. And we have a much nicer bathroom off of our bedroom, which I send guests to because I don't know what's going on upstairs. But so the upstairs, you know, like, I almost have like a spidey sense.
Yeah.
Like, my fingers will start tingling, and I'm like,
been a while.
Wait a second. It's been a while since anyone's been in that bathroom upstairs, and I don't even go look at it. I'll just tell the kids it's time to clean it, and they will.
I don't carry groceries. Oh, that's so nice.
I actually, that was a life changer. As soon as the kids were old enough that I could leave them all at home to go grocery shopping, I purposely would plan grocery shopping while all the kids were at home, because then, and then I would call my oldest on my way in and I'd be like, get ready, get your shoes on. I'm going to be home in like 3 minutes.
Here it comes.
And so they do all that. Do they put it away too? No, I don't want them doing that. No.
We all have our things. Like,
yeah, no, I know. That sounds to me, that sounds terrible. They do everything that they would do it all wrong. So there's like a lot of little things, right? It's not, you know, they all keep their...
No, but I love hearing that. And I'm sure there are others out there who are like, oh, this sounds amazing.
It is. It is amazing. And I lived in doing it all myself and living in somewhat chaos for a long time before I got to that point. So,
Well, I think one thing you've done in your family, I just know from knowing you too, is less about maybe a system where everyone has, say, XYZ chores and they do them on, you know, ABC days, but more that you've just created a culture of contribution, and that when you ask, like, you are, and we will link to your great post called Delegate Like Downton, which is sort of the Downton Abbey analogy. But I think what that post was really about is you are definitely the household manager. And when you say, hey, I need you guys to clean the upstairs bathroom, they do it. It doesn't have to be on a Tuesday afternoon schedule. It doesn't have to necessarily have, you know, a gold star attached to it, but you've created a culture where that is expected. And I love that because, everybody's different. Yeah. I work from lists really well, but obviously my kids are young, but I'm not so much the type to implement a whole system that I then have to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like follow through with other people. So I have lists in my mind. It's harder for me to bring other people
into that. You're not project management. You're
no.
Yeah. In that way, like systemic.
So I love that it can look like anything depending on your family dynamic and how the husband wife pair work. So I wrote a post a few years ago called the honey-do list.
Yes.
And
didn't we get some nasty comments on that one? I feel like we got like one or two.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. So
you never know. It's always funny to me how household management and chore and cleaning topics have got us nasty comments, and then we can write about like sex or something and it totally doesn't.
Anyway, sorry. Fire up the crazies. So it took me a long time to realize that my husband works really well if I give him a list of things to do. And I had a lot of guilt about, like, I felt like it was so kind of condescending to be like, especially because he works a normal, like, Monday through Friday full-time schedule. And come the weekend, I didn't want to be like, here's your list of things that I didn't get to this week or I need your help with. And it just felt really, it just felt really uncomfortable for me. Well, it took me like years to realize that he actually really likes that. Not that he wants to spend his whole week doing chores, but he I wanted him to see the things I was seeing around the house. Yeah. I wanted him to see the light bulbs that needed changing. That's one thing I don't do. Even if I could change a light bulb, but I just don't.
I don't do that either. John does that in our house too.
And so in the post, I mentioned that awesome scene in the movie, The Breakup, with Jennifer Aniston, Vince Vaughn, where she says, I want you to want to do the dishes.
And he's like, why would I ever want to do the dishes?
But yeah. That's exactly how it was. Kind of this tension with us for a long time where I wanted him to wake up Saturday morning, have his coffee and look around and see the things that I had been seeing all week.
Right.
And I realized that, number one, he wasn't logging as many hours in the house as I was, so he just didn't see them. And number two, we all see different things. The things that were bugging him or that he wanted to tackle, he's much more big project oriented, let's, gut the garage and I'm a much more detailed person. So I've got all the little things, And so he loves the list. He really does. He I can hand him the list and it no longer feels like I'm being this meany, naggy wife.
Right.
He putters around with his list and he's so happy that he doesn't have to figure out what to do, that somebody solved it. So I don't know. I guess that just goes to show it can work differently in different households, and it's a process of figuring it out, whether it's your kids or your spouse or whatever.
Absolutely. And when you were just talking about this, it's kind of funny, in our house we're a little bit reversed in that I'm the big picture thinker and John's the detail person,
right.
But I'm also the one who's here more and paying more attention. So it's kind of inverse, but kind of the same. So much of it depends on the parents, and there's probably always going to be one person in a house. In my house, it's the mom. In a lot of houses, it's the mom because the mom happens to be home more or works from home or just is in the house more. Not because I think we're all, naturally more domestic. I think it's just a matter of, the fact is I know more moms who are home more hours than dads. So we see stuff, we live in it, and we have to, this is our workplace. It's our, where we are most of the time. And so if it started, it would be like if you were at your office and your desk was just a disaster all the time and you couldn't find anything, it'd be really hard to function. But part of the reason that kind of, active style that I have works for my family is because that's the way I do everything. It would be totally, that's the way I manage my career. I mean, it would be totally out of character for me to suddenly have everything super, like a process that we go and every day, every Tuesday we do this and every Wednesday we do that. I'm a person who thinks on my feet. I'm a person who does things as they jump in front of me and need to be done. And that's, that's,
and you resist that structure a little bit, right?
I do. I resist it. I rebel against it a little bit. So, now that said, I think John could be a little more regimented in that way. And if he were home as much as me, and if he had sort of taken on that management role, he might have more structure in it, and I would kind of feel like I would have to just let him do it the way he does it. So it is really interesting, and it's always different, and it's definitely the honey-do list, our version of that. Well, I'll kind of tell you, we have two different kinds of honey-do lists. One is the Saturday Megan is losing her mind because, XYZ project has not been done, and it really needs to be done.
Okay.
Or the house is a mess, or we have guests coming. Having guests come is the best.
I know.
And so I will make a huge list of all the things that need to be done, and then I assign people.
Right.
So it's almost like a family do list.
Yeah, I love it.
And then John has to be the person who's the taskmaster. He runs around and keeps people moving and motivated, and he likes to come into the room and clap his hands a lot, really loudly. And so everyone has to keep moving. So that's one way we do it. But if for all the stuff that just I noticed during the week that I really need to have done, I send it to John in Google Hangouts because that's the way we keep in contact all the time. Okay. And he's always got his phone on him and he's always kind of in his Hangouts. And, so he'll see it. He won't forget if it's there in text. He'll scroll back up and see it. Or I'll send an email sometimes if it's more than one thing. But I don't keep paper lists for him as much just because I don't know that he would look at them. He's not
real paper.
That's
so interesting. And we're the opposite.
I know. So
Brian,
he's
like, where's my list? And sometimes I'm like, well, we talked about it. He's like, give me my list.
Yeah. Now I'm paper. I'm totally paper oriented. So all of my to-do lists are on paper and in journals and things like that. But one other thing I wanted to mention, we were talking about ages of kids and at the age of which they can become super helpful. I want to also say that it's not always about the age. It can also be personality. So an example of that is Clara is only 6. Mm-hmm. And if I can send her to her room with the directions to clean her room, and she will go upstairs and clean her room. It's not a big deal for her. Now, there have been times when she's shoved everything under the bed and she comes down and says, it's all done. And then a month later, she's like, remember that time I told you my room was clean? I tricked you. And I was like, well, I don't care. It looked clean to me. Your bedspread was covering
right.
the edge. But she's really good at that. She can manage a space in that way, and it mm-hmm. doesn't overwhelm her. Owen, who's going to be 10 in a few months, cannot. Right. He crumbles. Like, he cannot handle an open-ended
right.
job like that. I have to go up still sometimes, because if I don't, he shares a room with Will, and William will do the whole thing, and mm-hmm. Owen will just lay on the floor and roll around and moan. I mean, he's like the best staller. He takes it very seriously, and he'll kind of lay there, or he'll crawl towards stuff. Like, I'll say, you know, pick up your socks, and he'll just kind of like lay on his stomach and slowly, passive aggressively crawl to his socks. So one thing that I do with the two of them is I'll go up and look at their room and kind of assess the ease of picking certain things up. And I'll say, okay, Owen, you get all the clothes, and William, you get all the Lego, or whatever. I mean, right. whatever needs to be picked up. And
right.
honestly, that's becoming less of a thing now too, because they're older. They just don't play with the toys the way they used to.
Right. Well, I think that what you just said is a really good point, that I'm trying to think of some tips for helping kids learn these jobs. And that's, I mean, we've started to do this a little bit, but one of them is to be really specific. So like, I can't just say, all right, everybody, we need to clean up all these toys. Like, I can give Violet, who's only 2.5. I mean, hey, you need to get all of the baby doll stuff, or yep. let's get, you know, find everything red. I mean, you really can break it down into anything that is specific, because for most young kids, like you said, you know, just clean up or clean your room needs to be broken down into things that are a little bit more concrete, maybe, or that feel a little less overwhelming, like if you're Owen.
Right.
So we have to say that Kristen Shop, one of the things you and I both loved of her products is this little room cleaning checklist that does exactly that. And it says, like,
great.
My room is clean when clothes are picked up off the floor, check. You know, it's dusted or swept or vacuumed, check. And then you can kind of add your own if you need to. But I think that's just a good lesson for all of us, even if it's your spouse. It's that, you know, we sometimes, what we envision in our head, we need to articulate more specifically for our helpers.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it's even, you know, I'm 38 years old again, and I... again, I mean, like I said, I'm 38 again. How'd that work out? Sometimes I'll walk into a room and it's a mess and I don't know where to start. So yes, I can't totally. Really expect, you know, an easily overwhelmed 9-year-old to be better at it than me. And I've had years and years of working on that. So, you know, another thing that I haven't really, because I've talked about how I don't really use chore charts in the traditional way that they're used, where mm-hmm. I assign chores. I do think that sometimes they can be helpful for kids to use themselves mm-hmm. and to assign themselves mm-hmm. chores, like on an mm-hmm. individual basis. So while I'll probably never have one like hanging in a central place in my house with each kid's name on it and then all the stuff they're supposed to do, I can see how that could be really useful for kids who need those visual reminders. And I have a couple of those kids. Chores, homework, lots of things that, you know, things that need to be remembered.
Right.
And then that kind of puts them in charge of remembering their own stuff. Something that I'm more and more realizing my kids need to be, now that they're getting into more activities and there's, you know, older ones who are kind of in charge of their own transportation and stuff. It's like, I cannot be on top of it all the time.
Right. Well, yes, I completely agree. When we were looking at the samples from Kristen Shop, Allegra saw them. She was like, what is that? She said, I want one. And she immediately printed it out and wanted to fill it out for herself, because she is that. She's like a teacher and a teacher, not literally, but like that's her personality. Yes. She likes to organize things for other people. And I don't know where she gets that. No, I'm just kidding. So I agree. I think that could be a really fun way. The other thing, because we're the same way, we don't have a master chore chart system in our house. But the other thing, I was actually talking to my mom right before this and telling her what we were going to talk about. And she said, you know, that we never really did that. She said, but it's always really good if you need to change things up. So like if things, she said, I've never found one chore chart system that worked forever. And I don't think that's how they're supposed to be. But if you're feeling like in a rut, or the kids aren't like, don't kind of have the right responsibilities, mm-hmm. that it's a great way to kind of add variety into how you manage your house. And I thought that was a really good point, because I'm so someone who thinks all or nothing. So I think, well, if I introduce the system, it's got to be the way we do things forever.
Yeah.
And Or it's quitting. That's like how my brain works. That I think, well, then if we stop doing it, then I've failed at this system. But I thought that was another good point that just like you and I, like a new journal, it makes us feel more organized, that having, you know, a pretty chore chart or a new system or, you know, printing out some whatever it is for the kids can kind of like breathe a little life into the process. And it doesn't mean that it's got to be the way you do things forever. So I kind of liked that perspective
too. That is a really good perspective. And I think that just speaks to kind of what we talked about earlier, that we tend to make things so all or nothing sometimes, right. And they don't have to be. And, you know, I was on, this is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but hey, we do that a lot. I just recorded an episode of the Read Aloud Revival with Sarah McKenzie. And she's been on the Home Hour like last year. And then I'm going to be on her show. I don't think it's going to go up for like a month, but we were talking about summer and how, you know, like you think of yourself as a mom who reads to your kids only when you're actively doing it. And then you forget for a month or something because it's crazy and you're traveling and whatever's going on. And then you feel like you're not that mom anymore. Like suddenly everything that you did up until then, it's like it's been completely, you know, erased, or it doesn't count, or it's invalidated in some way. And my point was sort of like, well, okay. I mean, everybody falls off the wagon sometimes. And that can be true whether it's delegating to your kids or reading to your kids or having your kids take care of their own spaces or cleaning your house at all. I mean, we've all let things go all to H-E double hockey sticks before. Right. And actually, isn't it clever? Yeah. Sarah knows I have a total potty mouth in real life, but I try to keep these episodes very clean so people can listen.
Actually, I think we both do. So we deserve a gold star on your chore chart, Megan, for not giving us an explicit warning.
I'm trying to keep it kid-friendly here for the kids, for the children. So anyway, things just fall apart. And so, yeah, I think that you're totally right that having a fresh new notebook, having a new list, buying a new book that you're into, whatever it is, buying new cleaning supplies.
Yes.
I love to go buy, I tell you what, if I go get some really good smelling like Method or Mrs. Meyers or something like that, spray, like counter spray, I will want to clean my whole house with it. Mm-hmm. It's so silly. Buying a new sponge. I bought a new sponge last week. And I came home and cleaned my whole kitchen because I had a new sponge. I mean, sometimes the tools make the job.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a great way to think about it. Yeah, I completely agree. So I want to ask you about something that I think a lot of parents have questions about. And it might be, if it's too big a topic, we'll do a spinoff episode. Ooh. But I want to talk about, do you ever have some jobs or chores that you pay your kids for? Now, we don't have to even necessarily go down the whole allowance route. That's a little different. But I'm talking about, because just yesterday, I paid my two oldest kids for specific jobs, not jobs that I would expect. So in our house, I'll just tell you, you don't get money for things that you should basically be doing anyway. Right. But there are sometimes when it's a bigger job that I will pay for it. And some, they go through phases where they're more motivated about money, especially my second Reed, who's 5, who is pretty motivated to earn money, even if it's a couple dollars. So I've tried to keep it things that are actually really helpful to me, which is hard when he's only 5 and his abilities are only at a certain point, but I don't want to give him $2 for doing something that would take me 5 seconds or that he should be doing anyway. So it's sometimes hard to find the right jobs, but I'm not opposed to paying for things that actually do help me out. So yesterday Reed cleaned out, and he needed a little help from me, but not a lot. We have like a crawl space under the stairs, like a Harry Potter cupboard under the stairs. And it hurts my back to go down, and it's pretty big once you get in there, but it's like a little door. It's filled with extra Legos and a lot of stuff that's his that's shoved in there. And he did the whole thing with a little bit of guidance, and it took him like over an hour. So I'm curious how you are with, do you ever pay for these kind of jobs, and how does that work?
I think that we're very similar. I don't pay for stuff that they need to be doing anyway, although we do have an allowance system, which is constantly in flux. You know, the allowance thing is hard. I don't have cash ever.
No.
And, you know, I've sometimes got like all these kids with their hands out and they're wanting their pay. And I'm like, oh, sorry, guys.
And it's so, you're already managing so many details. It's hard to remember.
And then I'm like, I got to go to the bank now. And then how am I going to break up these 20s after I go to the ATM? Because you're not all getting a $20 bill just because that's all I've got. So anyway, that's kind of a side issue, but one that I'm finding difficult. And I'm sure there's some solution. There's probably like a rechargeable card or something I could just be putting money on. But I, you know, That has been kind of an obstacle for being really regular with allowance, which makes me feel bad because my kids will be like, it's been months since you've given me that allowance. Remember that allowance you said you were going to pay us? I need to get paid. But to me, that is completely, like you said, that's, to me, is just money that teaches them, you know, how to manage money and right. kind of gives them a reward for generally being helpful around the house. It's not tied right. to any specific job. And I have right. had my kids say things before, like I'll be like, hey, go clean your room. And Owen, especially, he just wants, he's a miser. Be like, oh, am I going to get some money? Like, no, yeah. you're not. But like you, if I'm asking him to do something, a lot of that tends to be like yard work kind of stuff for us uh-huh. or big cleaning jobs, yes. like cleaning out the garage, cleaning the basement. I'll often pay the younger kids to watch their sister, even if it's not really babysitting. Mm-hmm. Like my 11-year-old will walk Clara to the ice cream shop. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, okay, I'll give him a 10 and be like, you can keep the change. I mean, maybe it's mm-hmm. going to be $3.
Right.
But, you know, he just got a little bit of money to do something right. that maybe he should have done anyway. But I feel like I'm taking him away from what he was doing. Yeah. And it's kind of an extra thing.
And it genuinely helped you.
It so genuinely it, helps you know, it was- me. Yeah. So stuff like that. And I just judge it, honestly, on a case-by-case basis. I don't yep. have any system for it. To me, yep. it's like if I happen to have a few dollars and I have a job that needs to be done and right. I have a kid available to do it, it all just kind of aligns. And they're usually the younger ones are really happy to do
yeah.
those jobs. The older ones, they tend to do stuff like they'll go like my Jacob and Isaac just painted my sister-in-law and brother's basement.
Oh, cool.
And that took them like a week. So they had to walk over there every day and paint their basement. And they got paid, you know, a decent amount of chunk of change right. for that. I'm not sure I would ever give them a job like that in my house because I think it would drive me crazy. Like, I think I would want to micromanage them a lot.
Right. right.
And I'd be like the nag mom. You know, I just don't think that would be very healthy. But they go to John's mom's house all the time and do yard work and she'll pay them.
You know, that's great.
Kind of a bigger chunk of money. So I think it all kind of works out. So yeah, I guess the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do just like you do.
Yeah. Well,
it just changes as they get older into bigger
right.
and different
and
jobs.
And this is relatively new for us, but it's been so far I've liked it better than any kind of other, like they don't have regular chores like we were talking about. They right. just pitch in when I ask and they are still young, but the paid jobs have actually worked better than I thought at this age. So if there's anyone out there who's hesitant to start that or thinks your kids are too young, one thing I found little kids are really good at is spot cleaning. So one time I gave Reed the job, our staircases, it's hardwood floors that are dark wood, but then the, what do you call like the part of the stairs that faces forward? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Like
I know what you're talking about. The rise. Isn't that the rise?
Yeah. So yeah. that part's white wood, if that makes sense. So, so there's just scuff marks on it from going up and down. And it was a big job, but it was so specific and he's so little that he had like a magic eraser. And it was, to him, it was like a game, you know, yeah. he was like conquering each of these little scuffs. And so to me, I think, oh, that is such a big job because I would never want to get down and do every step and, you know, but it's almost like it was a perfect one for him because it was so specific and all he had to do was tackle each individual thing. So little like spot cleaning jobs are really good. If we're going back to the idea that cleaning a whole bedroom or cleaning
and it's
a whole
cheap
playroom.
Labor.
Yeah, it's completely
they're,
cheap.
They're
labor.
So happy
and
for a few
they're
dollars.
They're uniquely qualified for it because they're small
well,
and they,
yeah.
you know, they see those little things. So that was like, I guess I'm still learning the types of jobs that are good for that kind of thing.
Because I have to say that, than, I have yeah. to say the magic eraser has been sort of, has been life changing for that sort of thing because, you know, 10 years ago or whenever the last, magic eraser has not been around that long. So I'm going to say 10 years ago. If I wanted a little kid to do a job like that, I would have to hand them a rag and then some spray and they would spray way too much or they'd spray it in their face or like, you know, it'd be something I didn't want them to spray around their lungs. I mean, but the magic eraser takes care of everything. And you're right. I mean, that kind of job would hurt, like literally hurt us as adults to do.
Exactly.
But for little kids, it's no big deal. It's fun for them.
Right.
Same thing with like dust busting. Mm-hmm. Stairs. I hate dealing with stairs at all.
Yeah.
In any, you know, like cleaning capacity, but
right.
little kids, it's no big deal. They're like small and they can just crawl all over the place.
Right.
They can get into corners. And, you know, another thing that my little ones do is we have a dog, Moxie, and she is a Beagle mix, Beagle German short hair pointer. So she's got this short, coarse hair, and right now it's everywhere. And because it's summer and she's shedding. And so we have a tool called a Furminator.
Oh, I remember hearing about that from our vet. I don't think we ever got it.
It's kind of, it's like
a
pretty,
brush the dog?
It's an expensive dog brush.
Yes.
It looks more almost looks like a garden rake, like a tiny little garden rake.
I remember, I think my vet tried to sell me one time. Our dog doesn't shed very much.
So what it does is it gets their undercoat. And so you know, you drag it down the dog a few times, then you have to hit this little button and it releases an amazingly huge hairball. And it's just not the kind of thing I don't like. I'm kind of weird about pets. This is a new thing for me. As a kid, I would roll around in dog hair. I didn't care. Right. But now I don't really want it on my hands.
I know. I've gotten more squeamish about that kind of thing.
Yeah, too. I just don't really want to brush the dog. That just doesn't sound like fun. But Clara will go sit out on the back porch and hold Moxie's collar. And Moxie's a pretty chill dog, so she'll just kind of sit there.
Right.
And Clara will furminate her. And every now and then I'll, you know, pay her a little money to do it. But mostly that's one of her chores and something that she enjoys to do.
Right.
It's like if it's just the quick furminate, that's a freebie. But there's been times I've been like, go out there, you furminate that dog, I'll give you $2. Again, speaking of like a tool and a job that is perfectly suited to a small child, I mean, they want to touch the dog anyway.
Right.
I don't want to touch the dog. So... Right. Makes you sound terrible. I really do like animals. I just don't want them touching me.
Yeah, no, I completely hear you. And I think the point is sometimes it takes a little ingenuity and creative thinking, I have found, to translate what will A, help me, and B, suit their talents. So, and that I'm sure is the same as it goes on. I mean, it's just different than you can't quite just delegate exactly what you would do to a shorter person. Right. It either won't get done right or it won't help you in the way it needs to help you. So I think I'm just still figuring all this out.
Well, you know what it is, Sarah? It's like the difference between, you know, when you had your first baby and you weren't yet used to like anticipating things. Like you didn't, every time they poop their diaper, you're like, oh, what? You know, again, you know, it's like, it takes you a little while to kind of get in the groove of this is what being a mom is like. I feel like when my kids were really little, I was so immersed in just getting used to every new stage and learning how to deal with the fact that a toddler is not going to walk every 5 feet, they're going to like lay down or whatever, do that arm pull thing. Like, you know, just all these little things that just, or hey, I'm going to give this kid a toy and he's going to throw it. And it takes you a while before your brain learns that. And then when it learns it, it becomes second nature.
Right.
So you're sort of moving out of that phase because now those things are all second nature to you. And now you're moving into like, how do I manage the bigger environment around me?
Right.
And
you're
now
exactly right.
This is where that stuff becomes second nature. So for me, I can be in the kitchen cooking and helping with homework. And then I'll be like, Clara, get the furminator and take the dog out. Jacob, get the trash.
You have the headspace to think like many spinning plates.
My mind is just firing on all those things now because it's all second nature, like what it takes to keep it all going. Now, 5-10 years ago, I wasn't there.
And the other thing about the same thing, like I'm kind of moving from one stage to the next, is that you're so behind on housework for so long that it's a different kind. It's like triage at all times, right? It's like someone's either coming over or you just reach your breaking point and you're going from like terrible to passable. And I feel like I really am seeing now how it's enjoyable to keep a more functional home on a slightly more ongoing basis. Doesn't mean we won't fall apart like we talked about last episode, but that when you're just constantly behind and your floors are constantly dirty, it's like such a chore, haha, pun intended. It's so not fun. You're not even really enjoying the process of living in a functional home. You're just keeping things.
You're just surviving at that point.
Exactly. And I do feel like I'm moving from that to where, and it's the same. It's the same with meal planning. It's the same with all of those things. You know, when you finally get a good night's sleep more than one or two nights in a row, amazing things are possible, my friends.
Yeah. So I guess the point is, you know, if you're in that phase now where you still have the newborn and the toddler and you haven't figured it out and everything is a disaster, like it will not last forever. Not all stages of parenting are the same and you're going to be out of this one.
And you
faster
don't
than
have
you know.
To have perfect chore charts. Don't have to have guilt if you don't have. I swear the Montessori system gives me guilt because they're so good at like making these tiny people really resourceful and responsible. Yeah. It's one of the reasons I love Montessori. But then I'm like, oh, you really are capable of cleaning up. And I haven't really expected you to
do
that.
But that's not a home environment, though. Right. You know, I mean, that's like, I know my oldest went to a Montessori preschool. And I remember walking in and being like, what? This evil magic that you have,
it's amazing
that you've worked over these kids. Like everyone's quiet. No one's pushing. No one's interrupting. They're all cleaning up after themselves. Like, what is this? But you know, the teacher told me they spend the whole first like 2 or 3 weeks of class. It's her full-time job just to set that up, that system. And that's just not the way we live as people. You know, I mean, it's just as human beings in our own homes. I don't want to feel like I'm on the clock in that way. So,
Right.
I think that we can, we can take some of those things that we learn from systems like that and apply them. But I think that we also have to be natural and be who we are. And
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then it does take time. So if your 5-year-old doesn't have like a completed chore chart every night, please don't feel bad about it.
No. Yeah. Use tools for fun and to help and as they are needed and in creative ways, like we talked about, you know, with, you know, using like a, if you're a write things down person, then maybe it's a journal that you need. And if you're, maybe it's a notepad stuck to the fridge. I am an out of sight, out of mind kind of person. And having a magnetic pad stuck to my fridge is a lifesaver.
That's great.
And it's not always like, I don't necessarily have to have one for each purpose. Sometimes it's just, you know, I can rip it off and 1 week it's a grocery, you know, grocery notes. And the next week it's like reminders to myself about something coming up. It's just use the tools that are available. And if something doesn't work, repurpose it for something else and try something new.
Yeah, completely. Well, that's a great segue into talking about our giveaway. Are we ready to do that? Because KristenShop.com has such great, cute stuff like this. So the way we're going to do this is we are giving away $25 credit to KristenShop.com. So that is like, you know, a gift card or credit to her store that you can use, our winner can use to, buy any of her awesome stuff. So, to enter the giveaway, we're going to have you guys first check out KristenShop.com. Again, KristinShop.com. And take a look around. See what you would love to spend $25 on. And then come over to the show notes for this post, which will be at themomhour.com. And this is episode 15. You find it. If you haven't been to our actual website, if you've just been listening through your podcast platform on your smartphone or whatever, it's just, it's easy. It looks kind of like a blog post. It'll be episode 15. And we'd love you to leave a comment there on the show notes. That's all you have to do to enter. You can tell us your organizational challenges at home. Tell us what you'd spend that $25 on for KristenShop.com. And that comment will serve as your entry into the giveaway. And we have this running until August 25th, I believe. Right, Megan?
Yeah, that's a Tuesday, right?
Yes, I feel like I made that sound way more complicated than it is. Go to the Mom Hour.
Come to the Mom Hour and leave a comment.
Find episode 15, leave a comment. But we really want you guys to check out Kristen's shop at KristenShop.com and tell us what you would love to buy with that $25. And we will link, of course, in the show notes to her shop and to her Facebook page so you can give her some love. And through August 25th, and then we'll close the comments, we'll pick a winner, and we'll announce the winner right there, and we'll also reach out by email. So when you leave a comment on the show notes, it'll ask you for your email. Make sure that's a valid email address and that it's spelled correctly and all that so we can find you.
And this is also a great place for us to say we're really excited to have a mom-owned business on as a sponsor. And that is something that might be available to you. Maybe you might be interested in that if you have a mom-owned business. So you can always reach out to us at hello@themomhour.com if you're interested in sponsoring. You can also just send us email to say hi. And I just literally got an email as I was sitting here. I checked my email really quick just because I was worried about something. I don't usually, you know, zone out on you, Sarah, but I had to check my email. And I have an email from a reader. And the title is "I'm Obsessed." The stuff makes us so happy, you guys.
We
are getting so many emails from people who love the show, and it's really exciting, and it makes it so rewarding for us. So please, just email us, tell us.
And it really helps us too with thinking about how to be better for you guys, because I'm a dork. I listen to Reed the other day was like, "Why are you listening to your own podcast?" And I said. But I want us to get better, and I'm newer at this than you are, Megan, and I want to make sure the sound quality is good and that I don't sound like an idiot. So anyway, hearing from you guys by email really helps us choose new topics and kind of figure out who's listening. And so we love that. And I was going to say too, while you're at themomhour.com, especially if you've just been listening through your podcast app and haven't gone to the site, there's a couple things I wanted to point out. One is on the sidebar there at themomhour.com, I collected a bunch of episodes where you and I talked about mom related topics when it used to be the Home Hour. So that would not show up if you're subscribing in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever.
The Home Hour is a totally separate show.
It's a separate show. But I appeared on that show probably 10 times over the course of a couple of years. And we talked about some great parenting topics, discipline, birthday parties, back to school stuff. So I collected them all and they're all right there. So if you're one of those, we've heard of a few people who are kind of like binge listening and yes. caught up on all of them. If you really do want more, there's some fun conversations there when it was the home hour. And then finally, the last thing I want to say about themomhour.com is we do have an email sign up, which is different than subscribing to the podcast in a podcast app. The email subscription would, it would shoot you a quick email when new episodes are published, because some people like to be informed that way. And that way, if we have any other special things going on, if we have a new show announced, then we can reach out by email. We won't spam you, we promise.
So. I personally really like the email approach too, because yes. even though I listen to podcasts all the time, I'm not always in my podcast app.
Right.
And so sometimes you don't know when there's right. a new show waiting until you go look for it. And this right. way, it's a little more passive. And especially if you're a new listener, it's really yep. easy to start listening and then completely forget to check in. Right. So right. Subscribing by email is a great way, just to, another way to stay in tune. And I really think, you know, the show notes are really fun because we get to show pictures of us and yeah. our kids. And it's kind of, it's just like a fun little addition to yes, the episode itself.
Absolutely. So and comments out. There, obviously for this episode, our comments are going to be a giveaway entry, but comments there are always another good way to reach us. I know somebody was having a technical difficulty and left a comment and you fixed it right away. So yeah, when you leave really a comment there, we see it right away.
Yeah. Thanks, Anne-Marie. Yay.
Yeah. So yeah. Is that it for this week? I feel like that was a lot of technical detail.
It was, but you know what? It was all
good
stuff.
Don't worry, dear listeners. Just go to themomhour.com and it will all make sense.
It will all make sense.
Well, okay. This is great. Thanks yep. again to KristenShop.com, Kristen Norton, for being our sponsor this episode. And I hope everybody checks out her shop and enters the giveaway. And we will be back with you guys in a week.
In a week. See you then.
All right. Take care.